technology works, I'm just pleased with myself. So that's a good start. You might be wondering, why has he picked this passage? For those who don't know, the preaching plan didn't have a passage picked for this evening. It was a healing service. So putting it together, we thought, well, we'll leave that blank, and then whoever's speaking can pick a passage related that's suitable for a service about healing, and do a short message related to that, and we can have an extended time of prayer for healing. So I've not done very well, because I'm not quite sure if this is going to be a short message, and I've not picked a passage that you might typically expect to have when we come to think about praying for healing. I don't know if you noticed, but there wasn't actually any physical healing in the passage that we read. Maybe you've come here this evening, particularly because we're having a focus on having an opportunity to be prayed for healing, and you've come looking for some kind of physical healing, and you're beginning to wonder if you've come to the right service. Well, this is the first time in the Bible that God describes himself as healer. Verse 26 said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." For those who like this kind of thing, when it says Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament part of the Bible, it's where it uses the name of God, which we now believe was pronounced Yahweh, although the Jews didn't say it. They said Lord. So this is one of those times where, if some of you will be familiar, that at times God describes himself, gives himself almost another name. And so literally it's almost God, healer, or the word for sort of doctor, physician. Yahweh Rapheka is, I think, how you're meant to pronounce it in Hebrew, but my Hebrew's not very good, so we'll go with that. Yahweh Rapheka. Or some people may know the other way that Yahweh is sometimes pronounced, Jehovah Rapheka. This is where God declares himself to be healer. God, healer. Which seems a bit odd, because this is a passage where no one gets physically healed. So why does he take this opportunity to say, "I am the Lord who heals you"? Well, I think it gives us a bigger picture of what God is talking about when he's saying that he is our healer. It shows us that we have more to hope for, that there is something bigger to look for when we talk about God being our healer, that he is able and willing to do a great deal. So what sort of healing is there going on in this passage, in this little bit of Exodus chapter 15? Well, we got that. It talks about diseases. Just before it, "I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So a nice little reference to diseases there. And it's designed to point us back to what's just happened earlier in Exodus, the 10 plagues that have just come upon the Egyptians. When it's talking about the diseases, that's what it's pointing us back to, those 10 plagues. But I had a quick look, and I reckon that only two of those plagues are actually what you might think of as something that would need physical healing. You've got the plague of boils, I think that probably needs some healing, and the final plague, the death of the firstborn child. So that is something that perhaps we might look for healing for. But the rest are not what you might typically think of as diseases. You've got locusts and flies and the water turning to blood and this kind of thing. But it's not kind of what you might typically think of diseases. I'm not sure many people have come here this evening and are asking for prayer to get rid of the plague of locusts that, you know, is in your back garden or something. It's probably not what people are looking for. But perhaps sometimes we might pray, "Lord, heal our land." We might recognize a brokenness, a damage that maybe we have done to the creation around us. And we might look for God to bring healing to our land, healing of nature around us. Perhaps already we've got a slightly bigger picture of what we're talking about when we're asking for God to heal. But there's another sort of healing that goes on in this passage, the healing or the restoration of this bitter water. Walking through the story, we see the Israelites have been wandering in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. Think about that for a minute, that's quite a serious thing. I did a first aid course a while ago, and the guy instructing it said that you can go for 3 minutes without oxygen, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. Anything longer than that, and you start to get in trouble. It was simple, so I can remember it. So they've been wandering without finding a new source of water for 3 days. So they're rapidly starting to head into trouble. And they haven't found any water, so what do they do about it? Well, they grumble at Moses. Because we all know that when you go, if you've got a problem, if you go and grumble at someone about it, that's guaranteed to sort it out. Yeah? Good. Glad we're on the same page. Their focus here seems to be upon their needs. And in the next chapter, if you know the story, chapter 16, the next thing they grumble about is, well, we found some water now, but we haven't got any food. So what are you going to do about that then? And they come and grumble at Moses again. They don't seem to have much of an expectation of what God is going to do. Their picture, their vision, seems to be quite limited. They're looking for their needs. They don't even seem to really be considering what God might be able to do. Moses takes their grumbling and takes it straight to God and prays to him, cries out to the Lord. He shows us that he perhaps has a bigger picture about God's activity in all of this, that he recognizes that they are dependent upon God for what they need. And God shows that through just throwing a piece of wood into that water, he can provide healing of that water. And then he goes on, right at the end of that passage, verse 27, we read that they then go on to find another, even better, more plentiful water source with 12 springs. And actually here we see that God provides for them in two different ways. First off, their need for water he provides by healing, by sorting out the issue of these springs. Then later he provides another way by providing a different source. As we come to pray, and as we seek for God to be at work in our lives and pray for healing, there are different ways that God can meet our needs. Sometimes it is to bring healing. Sometimes it's to provide another way, another source of water in this case. Sometimes it's giving us the grace, the strength to cope with the difficulties that we face. The Apostle Paul wrote, as he faced illness and pain, that God had said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." But there's something bigger still going on in this passage. We kind of expect there to be a tone of judgment in this little bit of the passage at the end of verse 26. The Lord issues a ruling, instruction for them, and puts them to the test, he says. It's kind of like he's putting them on probation at this point. He wants to check out how they're doing about what is going on. God knows their hearts and he can see that something needs to change. It's often said that it was one thing to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, but it was quite another to get Egypt out of the Israelites. They had to spend 40 years wandering around in the desert to finally get to the point where they recognized who God is and what he wanted to do for them. They needed to learn to follow him. And so he says to them, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. What do you expect to come next? I expect to read, but if you don't do all those things, then I will bring on you all the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. Or worse, more than that, you're my people. If you don't follow me, then you're going to get it twice over. I guess that would be 20 plagues or something like that. It's kind of what we expect to read next, isn't it? And yet we read, I am the Lord who heals you. It seems that God doesn't want to be about judgment. God's desire isn't to come and judge them, but to bring healing. His desire is to restore them from their brokenness, from the harm and the damage that's been done to them, to hundreds of years in slavery. And his desire is to restore them, to heal them, to be his people, the way he's made them to be. There's a bigger picture here of what God's talking about when he says he is our healer. It's a greater hope we can find in God. It seems like the ultimate doctor. The same Hebrew word that's used there that God describes himself as healer, is used in a whole bunch of places throughout the Old Testament. And we're just going to have a look at a few of them. Excuse me. Psalm 41. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. I said, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." My enemies say of me in malice, "When will he die and his name perish?" The writer here is clearly in a physical difficulty, clearly sick and actually in danger of death. His enemies say about him, "When's he going to die? When are you going to die? You're so ill." But he recognizes, as John was leading us to recognize earlier, that actually sometimes there's more going on than simple physical illness. Perhaps because we live in an age of medicine, so often our focus when there's a physical illness is just to think about the medical side of it, the physical side of it, and we stop looking at there being any broader cause to what's going on. Excuse me. Here, the writer recognizes there's something more going on. Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. There's a bigger picture. He recognizes that he's sinned, that he needs healing not just from the physical issues, but from his sin against the Lord. I think John's getting me a drink, but I'm guessing there's no cups. So I assume he's not just decided to walk out. Anyway, we'll carry on. We'll be okay. I won't distract myself, and you won't get distracted either, so it'll be all right. I'll send you a story instead. after Christmas, got through Christmas Day all right, it was fine. The Sunday after Christmas, the 28th of December, I started to feel ill. I wasn't too pleased about this. And I came down with a bit of a stomach bug through the next few days. And around New Year, I was starting to feel better. I didn't even stay up, though, till midnight, because I was still feeling a bit poorly. This is where you say, there you go, thank you. That's what we're looking for. Congregation participation. And then I started to feel better. By the Saturday, after everything else, I finally felt better. And I feel like I've got so much energy. Genuinely, this is pretty much what I've got so much energy now. I feel better. This is really good. We took down the Christmas decorations because, you know, that's what you do when you feel better. And it was brilliant. Sunday morning, wake up. I've got a cold. And, of course, I'm a man, so it was man flu. There's a nasty bug going around. Gillian's just had the same thing, I think, a nasty kind of flu bug that's going around. Probably half the people here have had it. And it is pretty horrible. And I spent the next kind of couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, and a bit Wednesday, I think, in bed. I can't remember where I got to. It was about Tuesday. I'd been on holiday for half that time. Good use of holiday time, being sick. And I was meant to be back in on the Tuesday, I think it was. Tuesday, I was at home in bed most of the day, moping around. And at some point, I dragged myself down to the kitchen, I think to make myself another Lemsip or something like that. I was just feeling rough. Thank you, John. I was just feeling rough. And I was, if I'm honest, I was grumbling at God. And I was going, I was starting this year with real enthusiasm. I was really looking forward to cracking on with things, getting focused, getting stuff done, lots of things that I wanted to be doing and getting ahead on. And I planned and I knew what I was going to be doing. And look, I'm sick and I'm starting behind on what I was meant to be doing. You know, now everything I was doing today and probably the next few days, because I won't be better tomorrow. I know how this is going. And somewhere in all of that, God said to me, "Yeah, you were going to go and do all that stuff in your own strength. And that's not the way I want you to do it." And there was this moment where I just sat down and went, "Oh. Sorry about that." And in my own words, I said, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." Sometimes the physical is much more connected to what God is doing than we realize. Psalm 147 says this: "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. It's a psalm about gathering the exiles back together, those who've been kicked out of their land, bringing them back together, building up Jerusalem once again. This is about the healing of a people who have been broken, who have been wounded, about bringing back a spiritual center, Jerusalem, their focus of their worship, where God's presence dwelled for the people of Israel, where they've been kicked out and Jerusalem had been destroyed. This was about bringing back people, about bringing back that spiritual center. This isn't about physical healing at all. This is about an emotional healing, about people who are broken, who have been scattered, who are brokenhearted, about a spiritual healing of a people who've lost that connection with God, who'd lost their place of worship, who felt that God had abandoned them because they'd been kicked out of the land. A lost and a hurting people who God was bringing comfort and healing to. God is able to rebuild us, to heal us, not simply from physical things, but where we've been hurt, where we are suffering, where we are broken-hearted. He's able to heal us and restore us where we feel that we have somehow lost him, where we feel that he is far off, that we feel we're distant. He's able to heal and bring restoration to that relationship with him. Isaiah chapter 57. I was enraged by their sinful greed. I punished them and hid my face in anger. Yet they kept on in their willful ways. I have seen their ways, but I will heal them. I will guide them and restore comfort to Israel's mourners, creating praise on their lips. This is another healing again. This is something a bit different. This is about God being enraged by the sin of people, and yet saying he's going to heal those who mourn. Those who mourn their sinful ways. Those who mourn what Israel had become. Their greed, their idolatry, their worship of other gods. God was saying he was going to heal them, that he was going to restore them back to following his ways, that once again they might praise him, that they might follow him wholeheartedly. This is about the healing of a sinful people, that they might come back and follow him. Today, perhaps it's about the healing of a sinful addiction, that God is able to bring the strength and the power to heal and to bring change. There is so much addiction in our society. The things sometimes that we see, whether it's alcoholism or drug addiction, the things that today are so often hidden behind the scenes, the greed that people don't know about because they don't know how we use our money or our desires for it. Sexual addiction, that is so often hidden, because it's done in quiet, in secret, away from other people. And God is able to heal and to restore. God has a bigger healing for us. A healing of the land, a physical healing. Healing from sin, emotional and spiritual healing, healing of our ways even. It's all available to us because of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, these well-known verses. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. It's by his wounds that we are healed, that our sin and our transgression can be forgiven. That Jesus is able to heal our brokenness, and that we can look ahead in hope to one day, as the promise comes to us in Revelation, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. No more brokenness, because of Jesus' death, the ultimate reconciliation between us and God will have happened, where there's a new heaven and a new earth. And today, the healings that we see in our lives, in people today, are foretastes, are signs of the reconciliation that God will one day bring. God can bring about physical healing, but he can also bring so much more. Even as we look in Exodus chapter 15, we see a massive transformation through what God does in just these few verses. They start off wandering in the desert with no water. At the end of these few verses, they're in a place with 12 springs. They have bitter water. God is able to make it sweet. They grumble at Moses not knowing what to do, how things are going to happen. And then we see that God has already worked it out. There's wood that can be thrown into the water. They come to a place with 12 springs. God's care for them is already planned out. We see a contrast of the way the Egyptians suffered and the plagues that came upon Egypt to God's care and desire for his people to say, I am the Lord who heals you. We see them wandering, not knowing where to go, distressed, and we see that God has a plan and care for them. There's a fullness that God can bring, that he can work in our lives. And so, through Jesus, we pray this evening that we might meet God, our healer, the God who declares, I am the Lord who heals you.